Senate's Committee on Information Management Technology to order. We'll be holding a public hearing today on Senate Bill 202. We have two members. Senator Nelson did notify us he'd be a few moments late, and he's coming in. I think Senator Courtney should be coming momentarily. Momentarily, right? Momentarily. Okay. We're certainly pleased to have you folks in the audience today. We sort of scheduled this around when we knew you would be in town, so it's nice to have you here. And I think you just came from a very nice ceremony and celebration over at the State Library, and I think we can all be very proud of what's happening over there. I didn't get a chance to take the full tour, but I figured maybe I can. I think the State Librarian might help me out a little bit later and show me around over there a little bit, and we'll see it. But I thought Senator Hatfield's remarks were, as usual, just so great. So it was great, and so it's good to see you all over there. Well, I think we will start the public hearing on Senate Bill 202, and we have four people who have signed up, and maybe I'll just, how many chairs do I have there?
We can move one forward.
Do we have three chairs there? We'll bring one chair forward then, okay. Why don't I ask Patricia Cutright from Union County to come forward, the Connect Oregon program, Susie Schweitzer from Medford School District, and Charlotte Wisely, who is an old friend from, I won't say way back, because we're both just still kids, and Ken Reading from Umatilla County Library District. And it's interesting, as I understand it, you folks are for this bill. With all, I wonder if I might ask those in the audience who are opposed to it, would you please stand so I can figure out where you are? Okay, I'll turn it over. And are you taking the lead, Patricia? Is that
yes,
it? Okay. Would you please, in each case, identify yourself for the record? Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I'm Patricia Cutright. I'm the chair of CORE, or Connect Oregon, planning group. I'd like to introduce you to the members at the table, and I think you probably got a pretty good idea of who they were coming in. Ken Reading, Char Wisely, and Susie Schweitzer are here at the table with me. What we would like to do before we get started and too far into the process, we would like to show you a very short video that has been done for the CORE group, and it'll give you a good idea of the impact that CORE will have on people all across the state. So,
okay.
John Hilmer is our technical person here.
The idea of CORE is to group all types of Oregon libraries together and using cooperative buying power, spread the dollars far farther, and be able to get much needed. So it's one that will level the playing field no matter where you live, have access to your public or institutional or school library. It will equalize your opportunities to access information.
Personally, I know that I am missing out sometimes, you know, compared to some of the other students I know from in other states, also over in the valley. And I'm not asking for anything special. I just want to, you know, have the same thing everyone else has when it comes to getting learning resources.
So what we are asking for in this CORE initiative from the legislature is funding for two things. One is a pilot project, which would purchase these databases following this model that we've tried to adopt by taking the best from other states that have tried this route before us, successfully tried this route before us, and putting them for a two-year project, purchasing it and setting it up and seeing how it works. And the other part of the core legislation would be putting together an interim committee of legislators and librarians to look at how can this be, how can we do stable funding for this in the future, find a place for it within Oregon's economic and legislative future, and sustain it for all librarians and all Oregon libraries and all Oregon library users, everyone in the state. Pooling our resources will get us a great deal more for less money. Every time that libraries cooperate with one another, with the school system and with other agencies, they enhance the resources of all the taxpayers so that we get way more for our money than we could get individually. Right now, we're trying to purchase these things individually. There's a duplication of cost, there's a duplication of expertise, a duplication of effort and time. All of these things will be focused into providing better library service and broader base of information for everyone. And so as a whole, the state will be saving money and enriching its resources and serving the citizens better.
I think everybody should have a chance to access the information they need with their broader internet and resources from their library. And if they don't, I think the core program is good because they're trying to increase the amount of resources that the library will have for the student or whoever's trying to use it.
Basically, what the problem is in terms of the funding for libraries is that we are being asked for more than we used to be asked for. 10 years ago, our budgets bought books, they bought videos, they bought audio tapes, they bought periodicals, they bought records. They paid for the staff to help in the library. Now, 10 years later, still need to buy all those things, but we also need to buy very expensive electronic databases. And we need to for our staff to learn how to use them and help people with them. And so it's a significant increase in expenses. And the tax dollars are not keeping up with that in the way that we are inefficiently individually buying things now. What CORE is proposing is that with stable funding from the legislature, all of these types of libraries would go together and as a unit be able to much more effectively spend money, which would a drop in the bucket at the state level, but would make a commitment.
Well, I think this should be a matter of great interest to the legislature in terms of bringing the students and the individual taxpayer in Oregon up to speed in terms of information opportunities, and especially when surrounding states are outpacing us in this regard.
I think it opens up additional resources for our citizens, additional services for our citizens that would otherwise be unavailable. As we're talking, snow is falling outside of LeGrand, and it makes it very difficult for us at times to be able to travel around the state and take advantage of things that might be available in the state system or another public library in another location. So anything that we can do using new telecommunications technology, whether it be phone lines, internet, what have you, is to our advantage.
Having these electronic ways to find things instantly, it's not only more detailed and you find things that you didn't know were there, but it also it opens doors to materials that probably wouldn't have been available otherwise, such as our article databases that are online. We're able to get the full text of articles that we don't even carry in our own libraries. You know, if other rural libraries could tap into that, they wouldn't necessarily have to have the physical materials there in their building, but they would be able to reach out to other libraries that do. CORE is to try to get information to the users of libraries that's electronic in format, but is of a higher quality than what we get just using internet.
I've heard people talk to the talk about what the internet is like. It's like walking into a library and trying to find what you want when all the books are dumped on the floor and mixed up with trash. And that's really, you have to be pretty savvy to find stuff on the internet and to evaluate what you get.
Biggest problems that I encounter as a student is I spend a vast portion of my time deciding for myself whether or not this is a credible source or whether or not it's just or whether or not it's actually academically valid. With CORE, I think that they will be able to give me access to bases and the like that where I won't have to spend time making these decisions for myself. I can rely on the expertise of the people who created the databases to take care of this for me.
One of the good advantages of CORE is that it would have databases purchased by librarians who know what is good authority, what is a good database, and that way students don't have to just go onto the internet and be looking and trying to decide what is really appropriate, what is real, and what isn't. I see that a lot in elementary school, is that students will get on there and be looking at National Enquirer for information for a report because they don't have that background of understanding what is really something that you can trust.
And the legislature in the past has invested quite a bit in the electronic infrastructure that this would be based on. What CORE brings is the content, the intellectual information that would be running across that infrastructure. So we've got the roads, now let's get the cars kind of idea.
As a student working in an electronic research center, finding information, my specific field, I'll be going into the natural resources farmers, and I need access to information on grasses, so I can stay current on my field. Concise way really benefits me. I don't have time to go and buy a lot of magazines and read a lot of books.
One of the real important things of a CORE for the school libraries is that if we purchase a common database through the state, all students will have understanding how to use this database. So that at school, they learn how to do a search on a certain database. They can either go after school to the public library and continue with the same database, or they can go home and work if they have computer access at home. So what we're doing is we're giving students a real excellent way to continue something they're familiar with and they've worked with. Instead of, I'm running out of time at school, they don't have the same thing as a public library, I don't have internet, I can't do this anymore. It's a way for parents to really help their students get what information they need for reports and for gathering for school reports and things that they're working on.
Well, if it doesn't happen, we drift along in the same way we're against this flood of information. The have and have nots get further and further apart. The digital divide gets bigger and bigger. I think CORE would be
thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. At this time, I would like to read just a portion of a letter from Ms. Claudia Jones. She's the county librarian at Wallowa County Library System. Claudia was invited to testify today, but being one of those one-person shows out there that are running libraries all over Oregon, she was not able to come from Wallowa County, and so she sent me this letter and asked me to read it as her testimony. Well, Lowell County's population of approximately 7,200 people live in a small, isolated community scattered throughout the valley and surrounded by national forest lands and the Eagle Cap and Hell's Canyon wilderness areas. There is one main road connecting Wallowa to neighboring Union County, a 62-mile stretch that twists along the canyon following the river. The Wallowa County Library System includes Troy and Imnaha branches, both located in deep canyons. In addition to providing recreational and informational materials for residents, these tiny branches also support the curriculum needs of the schools they are located in. Library service that makes current information and educational support available to these communities is vital. There are, however, several barriers to information access. Library collections are limited and courier service is unavailable. Fiscal transport of materials is difficult at best and most often provided by volunteers. Electronic access would be a wonderful solution, but library budgets are not large enough to support the subscription fees to electronic databases that are so readily available to many Oregonians. Information literacy is absolutely vital to our geographically isolated and economically disadvantaged communities. As a librarian serving a rural population that both needs and deserves equitable library service, I urge you to support Connect Oregon Project. Respectfully, Claudia Jones, Wallowa County Librarian. At this time, I would like to introduce to you Shar and Susie from the Medford area, and they would like to give you a very short testimonial on what they're doing down there.
By the way, would you please be sure our clerk gets a committee administrator, assistant gets a copy of that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Hello, I'm Susie Schweitzer. Oh. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Susie Schweitzer, and I am the library media specialist for Oak Grove Elementary School in Medford, Oregon. I'm here representing, first of all, our children in the state of Oregon. I'm also representing OEMA, Oregon Education Media Association, and OSLIS, which is the Oregon Schools Library Information System. That is what we have had access to for this year, and at the end of last year, we came on board. I'm very fortunate to work in a district where they have creatively provided us with two computers in every classroom. We have a lab of 23 computers in our library. We have network access, networking in all our schools, actually, in Medford as of the end of last year. We can access the internet on a T1 line, and we have a frame relay with full bandwidth and 1.3 megabytes. And it's all been provided through creative fundraising that our district has provided. Now I can take my children and I can teach them to use those resources. My job is to help them locate, access information, and I have the tools to do that right now. We're about to lose that. I would like to have you, I'm not going to read this, I'm impromptu here. This is, you can read what we have to say here, but I want you to know that my children at the school that I work at, we have almost 66% of those children are on free and reduced lunch. When I talked to them last year, there were maybe one or two children in every classroom, which is about 45 to 50 children that even have a computer at home. So we are their access. And the teachers that I work with in the summertime, we all volunteered to keep our library open one day a week, and we were able to keep it open and have that access for those children all summer long. And we're talking about minorities here. We're talking about people who cannot afford access, and the children are learning. And if you have this handout that we gave you, the K-12 online, and you look at some of those buttons, those are some of the things that are really important to me. Our children have a safe site to work at. They are coming into the library wanting to find out about things. They know about the OSLA site, the Oregon School Library Information System site. It is, when they sign on, that is what comes up for them. They have access to an encyclopedia of animals. They have the ability to do that. They have the ability to come in, and they are bringing their parents in. We have a homework program after school. I have the library open after school until 4:30, and it's open at 7 in the morning, and I never close the doors. I have parents who do not have a computer at home coming with their children, and they're coming in there to find out information for the siblings who have graduated. And we're even working with our PTO to bring the parents in to show them what's available to them. They don't have that. They are so excited about it. We had over 100 people the last time, which is phenomenal for our school. We've never had that kind of a turnout before. But they are so interested in this information. They want the information. They don't have access to it. And if we lose this EBSCO host, we will have nothing again. And so I really would want you to consider this for our children.
You know, Mr. Weitzer, as I listened to you talk, and I was thinking of the comments that Senator Hatfield made about the division and the haves and the have-nots, it seems to me like we could, what you're saying, taking the technology and people who really are in the have-not area, here's an opportunity to move them into the other category. And it'll certainly will take programs like this in order to do it. Otherwise, you will broaden that schism out there.
So we didn't, it hasn't been that long ago where we didn't think technology would make that much difference, that we still had the core things. But I want to tell you that our test scores, we were about ready to have the state intervene 3 years ago when we finally got our computers. And now we have a management system. Our children have brought their scores up to the 70 percentile. I'm checking out from 7,000 books a year to almost that many books a month to my children. And technology is doing that for us. We need these resources. We need this information.
My other question was, do you get good support out of your superintendent of schools?
We have the most wonderful superintendent of schools. He is so supportive of us, and that's why we are where we are. Not all the other districts around us have what we have.
I was one of the professors on his doctoral committee, so I I know he's well-trained and well-qualified.
Very well.
On that note, we probably should move to the next person. By the way, do you have good cooperation with the superintendent?
Yes. I'm Charlotte, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Charlotte Wisely, the superintendent's wife. And I'm representing OMA and Oregon School Library System, Information Library System, and I am also a member of the Medford School District and the Students of Oregon. Those are our key people. I've been a media specialist for about 11 years. During that time, I've seen it go from a book-oriented environment into a technological environment. I'm in a new school. It's about 4 years old. And we were set up to be a technological school. We started just the opposite of what Susie's school had to start with. We have a full lab of computers. We have two or more computers in every classroom. And I have worked very hard to train my teachers. This year, through OSLIS, I have been a mentor. I have been out mentoring my school, Susie's school, and two other schools in the district. And at this point, I feel the need to get out into some of the other schools in the area and show them this wonderful resource that they have. And some of them aren't knowledgeable of it because they haven't been directly involved in this OSLIS program. Working with online resources was part of the benefit of becoming an OSLIS pilot school. And not only were we a pilot school for a whole district, but we've been a pilot school for OSLIS. And I was in on creating the curriculum that you can see on the computer for OSLIS. And I was able to use CSIRS and WorldBook, and this year EBSCO Online. So I've had a lot of experience with students using online resources. And we have designed our curriculum around those online resources now. We no longer just send kids to books. We start with books and then we move into the online resources, and they hardly can find resources on a lot of the topics that they're looking for unless we go online. Our fourth grade students research and do word processed reports on the Oregon Trail period of time. Fifth graders are doing research and reports and oral presentations, which is also part of our SIM curriculum, on explorers, inventors, and political leaders. And they will also, this oral presentation is extremely important because they are graded on that too. Sixth graders, we do something called the Night of the Notables. It's part of the AOM project. It's out of Colorado. And it was originally created for challenged students. We thought it was so good in the Medford School District that we require all sixth grade students to do it as an exiting project from sixth grade. Very similar to the senior project, which Medford also started several years back. And so we have sixth grade students doing pieces of what a senior project would look like. I brought with me some demonstrations of what the kids have created. They're required to do a research project on an eminent person from history. And they may choose whoever they wish. They have to go into great detail to find information. Catherine of Aragon is a prime example of a difficult project because this child had to do some very in-depth research. Without the online research capability, we would have been dead in the water on some of these. The students then have to create what's called a bio riddle. They take the most pertinent information about their person, put it in a riddle form, and they read that the night of our final presentation to the parents and ask the parents to participate by guessing who the person is. They have to create their presentation board, and every child does this. And if they can't afford to buy the board, we buy them for them through school funds. They have to create, they have to go in and learn how to use Bartlett's quotations, find a quotation from the person that they are studying, and they have to do a lifeline of the person's life from beginning to end. And every student does it in a different way. You can see some of their displays that they've made. And I haul these around all over the United States to share them because it's such an awesome program when you see the children up in costume presenting before 100 or more parents. Every parent turns out, plus grandma and grandpa and aunts and uncles. It is so awesome. The first year that we had all of our computers and we were all set up, we had one little gentleman who found an unclosed picture of Betty Grable and invited 10 more people over to look and see what he had found. And darn, we caught him. And it hasn't happened since because we've had a controlled environment. We've been able to use these databases that are safe for students. And for the most part, we can control where they go and what they do online. And also, like with EBSCOhost, it has been broken down into primary, intermediate, and secondary. Our kids can go into the proper channel to get into what they need. The readability is good on these, particularly on EBSCO. They have it, the readability is right there. You just click on a button and you can find immediately what grade level or what age child should be using it. Our district has done a fantastic job of supporting us. They've dumped in all 14 elementary schools in online, but the money isn't there to buy all the support resources. We've been thrilled with the OSLA site and with the EBSCO host this last year because it has given us a safe way. We are moving forward, but we really strongly support this core program. It would be very beneficial to not only our students. Central Point, Phoenix Talent, Ashland are not anywhere as near as far as long as we are in technology because they haven't been able to muster up the support from their community. We actually went out and got the money to buy these 2,000 computers, which has been Dr. Wisely's big push for the last 2 years, and he has achieved it. He's gotten two computers in every classroom, in every school, in 2 years. And this whole technological change in Medford has happened in the last 4 years. We've gone from 2Es to computer PCs. So I really strongly ask you to look at this bill. It would be very helpful to all of us.
Very much, sure.
I never found her without words. Okay, Ken.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, my name is Ken Reading, and I'm the coordinator for the Umatilla County Special Library District in Pendleton, Oregon. That's a public library district. And I think the best way for me to testify to you on behalf of this proposal over the next few minutes is to tell you a true story about our experience about information and its growth and use a decade ago in our rural area of Eastern Oregon. Excuse me, in the early spring of 1988, I received a call from Mike Duncanson, who is the media specialist at Hermiston High School in the western part of our county. Mike wanted to improve information access for his students by collaborating with us on an automated resource sharing system proposal we were pulling together for Blue Mountain Community College and the 14 public libraries in Umatilla and Morrow counties. Since none of our libraries could afford an automated system alone, we began to realize the great potential and cost effectiveness of one shared materials database where any member library could quickly find and request materials they needed on behalf of their patrons, students, the general public, or what all. Anyway, such a collaboration for us would mean many things, but it would mean no more isolation or very much reduced. The artificial boundaries that are out there would be reduced and unnecessary fragmentation. In other words, you're just alone so much of the time. And it would be, for the most, to me, it was very important that we would not be limited to what was on the shelf or just have to make blind and cumbersome interlibrary loan requests. And then you just wait to see what comes in. Mind you, this was 10, 12 years ago. Mike's enthusiasm brought in actually 33 other schools besides his own high school. And these are all Eastern Oregon schools into this grant project. And so all of a sudden, we had about 50 libraries instead of about 14. And really, since then, we haven't looked back. We keep resource sharing statistics for the public library collaboration, but we don't keep them for the schools. And I can tell you that in 1987, there were only 200 interlibrary loans, 200 in all of Umatilla and Morrow County. And within 2 to 3 years, we had over 8,000. And it's incrementally gone up since then, but that's a massive jump. So you just have to believe me and all the rest of us here that people really want information. And when we reduce the bureaucracy and the institutional barriers that exist to get it, that's what they want. So this core proposal that we're all here today for, in my judgment, will bring similar benefits, 21st century information benefits, to everyone in every corner of Oregon. It is a doable, and we present it as unprecedented and collaborative, and it really is, for all the citizens. It involves four main communities, that is public libraries, K-12 schools, community colleges, and all of the four-year colleges and universities in the state. Oregon libraries share a vision that each library in the state, from Helix to Portland to Eugene, to Ontario, will serve as a gateway to all the total resources that are in the state. And from my point of view, I guess, which is kind of rural, I guess you would say, limited local resources, a statewide policy of information equity seems fairly important nowadays. And as I see it, the role of the state, or the state of Oregon, is to take the lead in this effort. Let me just finish with an incident from this resource sharing grant of a decade ago, which seemed important then, and it seems even more so now. One of the foundations we were working with hired an educator to make a site visit to see if our proposal had merit, and we said we were, and this is traditional. And at the end of this site visit, this individual concluded that any time you can get not only two or more schools, but any other political entities to do anything together, you ought to make it happen. Thank you.
Very good. I just, you mentioned Helix just a moment ago, and in fact, I was thinking about that because I was going to ask you, why don't you use Helix as an example for us? What happens if Helix, if we do this, what would it do for Helix? And what happens if we don't do it for Helix? Now, we've had some examples, but I just want to use, because I know that school pretty well. I know the size of it. And
What would not happen is things would remain status quo. You would not, well, the EBSCO program that is, I think, involves most of all of the schools in the state now just would cease to exist, so the access would be not there, okay, that they have now. Public libraries in my county, only two or three use this system, because it's only two or three that can afford it. But for Helix, it means what it means for everybody, and they're fairly isolated, 17 miles northeast of Pendleton. You're able to provide the same level of service that you would get elsewhere where these things are available instantaneously, and you would not have to go through the same. You're just not. It's access, pure and simple. You just don't get it. And if you're the more rural you are, the less likelihood it's going to happen because there are fewer funds to make it happen. Helix, for example, is not on this system, so it's just an access issue. So.
Questions, members of the committee. Senator Courtney.
Just wondering, Mr. Chair, there are amendments in front of us. Are these witnesses here to comment on those, or is that
I think they should be. Were you familiar with the amendment? There is an amendment. I think it's they're aware of that amendment.
Yes, yes we are.
I think they're supportive of the amendment, too. Sounds good. Other questions? Senator Nelson, I have one for you and for them, too. What is 622? Play into all of this. And by the way, I don't know if you folks realize, but Senator Nelson and Senator Metzger was on the committee last year too, that I think really are the founders and get a lot of credit for trying to deal with the whole infrastructure and technology throughout the state of Oregon. So I really do want to acknowledge their work. Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Chair. It's interesting that you just said that, because I just wrote down, how about 622, either under economic development or under education, and I hadn't really thought of that before when we went through the process, this thing. If there is some potential, I think we need to look at that as a potential source. It's my idea in bringing forth this bill is that this access and the future of our state economy, we've got to be able to bring people together with this technology. We're in an information age economy, and if we don't bring the whole state along, I think we're going to be at an extreme disadvantage in funding for our public services, whether it's public schools or public safety or public health or human resources. So it's a good question, and I think that we should see if we can tie this in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll do some checking on that, I will.
Mr. Chair.
Yes,
Senator Nelson is right. I think there are some provisions in 622 that would, for the electronic access, in which a request for grants would fit, I think, under the context of the of 622. So, Senator Nelson's point is well taken in terms of finding dollars. There may be some opportunities there. By the way, learned one with your great background. I want the folks to know that I actually, out of college, my first 2 years, I was the media specialist for the library and covered the library and the media center at Gresham School District. So I have, you know, great interest in this.
Wonderful.
It's your credentials, right?
It's about time.
old-fashioned, but other comments? Senator Atkinson, your area is pretty well represented here today.
Excuse me?
I said your area is pretty well represented.
Very well represented. I would just make a couple of comments. Foremost is that what we were talking about earlier about having kids who didn't have the means or didn't have a computer at home to take advantage of it is very big in my district. And also we had a discussion in my office regarding kids from a rural area where my wife's from, actually, having the ability to access information from home if they had the ability. Another discussion that we had, which is similar to my comments 2 weeks ago in this committee, were regards to the size and speed of the pipe. How fast can this data be transferred, which remains still an issue for me. And it's really, if we really want to play on a level playing field, I mean, the speed and the pipe and the programs like this are very important. Just a couple of comments. I'll be very supportive of the bill for two reasons. Number one, it's philosophical, and I think that you can always tell the strength of a community by the strength of the library. And where I came from, now we just for the first time passed a library school bond, which is pretty neat. And secondly, I guess I would comment on more of a personal note, and that is when I was very young, I wasn't a very good reader. And my mother used to drag me to the library once a week, and I could pick out whatever I wanted and check out as much as I wanted, so I'd remain interested in books. Right now, I've got so many books that my interest it took. So anyway, I have a very big interest both professionally and being a representative of Southern Oregon, but also personally of trying to move this thing forward.
Questions or comments?
We're trying to read our chairs.
Yeah.
Just do
you're
things.
In the tough committee.
I like to move, Mr. Chair. I move the dash one.
Yeah.
I'm getting.
Yep. The dash one. You're doing well.
Is that what the message?
Yeah. You're doing well.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash one amendments to Senate Bill 202, please.
Yes, excuse me. I'm going to close the public hearing and open a work session. And I'm sorry, Senator Courtney, I really wasn't thinking right, and I'm sorry. Senator Courtney, we're now in work session, and what were you saying?
I'd like to move the dash one amendments to Senate Bill 202, Mr. Chair, please.
Senator Courtney moves the dash one amendments to Senate Bill 202. Any discussion? Any opposition? Do we need a roll call? We don't. Administrator, what's the roll call vote?
Just like libraries, we got rules.
Well, you get some administrators that are touchy about that and some that aren't, see, so you just... And Marjorie keeps us on the line.
I like rolls.
Andrew, you want to call a roll?
Senator Atkinson?
Aye.
Senator Courtney?
Yes.
Aye.
Senator Nelson?
Aye.
Chair Duncan?
Aye. It's more dramatic when we do it with a roll call vote, don't we? All right. Senator Courtney.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move Senate Bill 202 as amended to the Ways and Means Committee with a do-pass recommendation.
Okay. Senator Courtney moves that Senate Bill 202 as amended be referred now to Ways and Means with a do-pass recommendation. Discussion.
Mr. Chair, were you going to explain to the listening audience?
You go ahead.
Ordinarily, we would send a bill directly to the Senate floor for passage. but there is a financial impact, a budgetary impact. And because it is a certain amount, we need to send the bill to Ways and Means before it goes out to either Senate or House floor. That's why we're doing this, in case you might wonder why we're not going right to the Senate floor. Believe me, if we could send this right to the Senate floor, we would do it. But I think some people in this building might go crazy if we did that. We got on the Senate floor, and so that's why.
So I think, you know, what he's saying, there is a possibility sometimes when you see something referred to Ways and Means, you never hear of it again. We don't want that to happen, and we're hoping that you folks will do your best to let Ways and Means Committee members know, which, by the way, some of us are Ways and Means Committee members, too.
He is the Ways and Means
Committee. We do like to, they should hear from you. And, you know, you have Nan and Jody working with you, two of the very best in this building. So I think that message will get down to Ways and Means. Any other discussion on this particular motion?
Yes. One other.
Yes, Senator.
I want everybody in the audience to know that I'm not from rural Oregon. I'm from Salem. And today I've already you can have about a book donated on your behalf. At least I was told that. I took downstairs and had a book donated. That's part of what's going on today. I look at who's on the bill, and I want to thank Senator Nelson. He made sure that only Republicans are on the bill. I'm a Democrat, and I am from Salem, and I don't know how you do this, but just because you don't get your bill name on a bill right off the bat, you can, as it works its way along, have it placed on the bill. And I would like to officially request, in terms of our committee administrator, that the next available time, I have my name added to this very worthwhile piece of legislation that I wholeheartedly support. And so I would just like to say that for the record. Thank you, Senator Nelson, for bringing
stand
the
corrected.
Bill to sign. I like that.
And Senator, there will be some other of us who want to do the same thing.
That's right. You're not on it either. No, you're chairing the committee. So he is a Republican.
Every now and then. Okay. All right.
There was equal opportunity.
I'm going to call your vote. I'm going to call Andrew to do a roll call vote.
Senator Courtney?
Yes.
Senator Webster?
Aye.
Senator Nelson?
Aye.
Senator
Atkinson? Aye. Aye. Motion carries. Senate Bill 202, as amended, will be sent to the Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. We'll track it as much as we can down there, and we hope that you folks will be doing the same thing.
We thank you so very much.
Thank you folks for joining us today, and good luck, and we hope some good things happen.
Yeah.
Everybody's fine.
Oh. Saying, what is this?
The committee is adjourned.
Yeah, you're not on here either. Yeah.
Thank you.